I know that we have a few guests with us today, but I need to tell our local church family and any guests who may be local to Chester County and Henderson that this Saturday is a huge day. It's our annual Car Care Day, a day where we can invite our community to come, and we're going to try and show them the love of Jesus by offering some free services to them. Everything is free. We don't want any donations or anything, but we're inviting our neighbors and our community to come and to get a free car check, a car wash, and while they're waiting on those things to be done, to come inside and join us for a wonderful meal. We look forward to this every year. This is our third year to do this. There are some more cards around. If you know someone who could use to be invited to this event, tell them to check out the Chester County Independent. We've had ads in the paper for the last 3 weeks to try and drum up some more interest about that. And in the meantime, I need you, our church family, to do two things. Number one, we did this last year. Let's pray for no rain. Pray for no... Now, last year, we prayed for no rain, and at 3 p.m., as soon as we finished, the bottom fell out, but not a drop before then. So let's pray for no rain. And then number two, I need as many as can to come and to be here to help us work. We'll have several hundred, if previous years are any indicator, several hundred from the Henderson Church here to help pull all of this off. And we have a job for everyone. Wear your Jesus is Why shirt and join us Saturday morning. The event is from 10 to 2. Here in the parking lot, we will meet at 9 a.m. for a group devo, and then to break out into different teams, we'll meet at 9 a.m. in the activity center this coming Saturday. Jesus is why. Jesus is why I must decrease. We live in a world that says, promote yourself, build your brand, be seen. I think that net worth is still a pretty strong measurement in today's society, but in addition to that is sort of a social media currency. How many followers do you have on Instagram or TikTok? How many subscribers do you have on YouTube? I'm not saying it's all bad, but what I am saying is John the Baptist challenges us a little bit to reframe all of that. He has a radically different view. When he says in John 3, verse 30, referring to Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. The question for us this morning is not a matter of self-hatred. It's a matter of Christ exaltation. The question is not, how can I be more? The question is, how can Jesus be seen more in me? And so this morning, we turn our attention to John chapter 3. If you'd like to join me there in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1055. It begins there. And as we pick up, beginning at verse 22, we set the context a little bit. Jesus and his disciples have gone out into the Judean countryside where Jesus, it says, is baptizing. Now, we'll find out in John chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus actually never physically administered baptism. It was actually his disciples who were baptizing. But Jesus is out in the Judean countryside teaching and preaching baptism. And people are coming and they're being baptized. And it's not too far away that John the Baptist is preaching and ministering and continuing to preach and teach what we call the baptism of John, which was very much still within the rites, if you will, the right time for John to be administering that baptism. But some of John's disciples come up and they're like, whoa, John, it's almost like they're saying, we got a little bit of competition. Jesus is baptizing folks down the road a little bit, and some of the people are all going to him, and what are we supposed to do? And John, evidently a pretty wise man, answered, beginning at verse 27, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's consider together four reasons by application why I must decrease as we study through this text. In the first place, I think John the Baptist teaches us that I must decrease because Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than I am. He needs to shine brighter than I do in my life. John recognized that everything he had was a gift from God. What can a person receive that was not given to him from heaven? He essentially says in verse 27. And he also understood his role. He says, I've confessed to you, I'm not the Christ, I'm the forerunner. I've been sent to prepare the way for him. And John describes his role as not the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who rejoices to see the bridegroom coming. Why decrease? I keep reading in verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. I've read this phrase now twice in verse 31. Jesus is above all. John says, I belong to the earth. Essentially, what he's saying is, though he was sent by God, and the Gospel of John tells us as much, John chapter 1, verse 6, but John cannot do what Jesus can do. So John says, I'm just a human being like everybody else. There's no question. John had a specific mission. Absolutely. Isaiah prophesied that he would come. One in the spirit of Elijah would come to prepare the way of the Lord, to say, make straight his paths. He's coming. The king is coming. He's on his way. But John recognizes his limits, where his role ends and Jesus' begins. And John admits, he who's from heaven is greater. This morning, do I see my life as something that I've built or something that I've been given? Isn't the phrase from John in verse 27 still true for you and me? A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given him from heaven. And so I need to ask myself, am I trying to take center stage in a story that really belongs to Jesus? Am I trying to make my life completely about myself to the point that there's really not a lot of room for Jesus in my life? Sometimes the voice of selfishness, even the voice of my own ambition and goals, becomes so loud that Jesus can hardly get a word in edgewise. It's almost like, if you will allow this illustration, it's almost like the voice of Jesus is constant, beckoning us through Scripture to come to Him. But sometimes what I need to do is to take that volume knob of my own voice and turn it down. I need to decrease. Jesus must increase in my life. Turn self down so that Jesus can be heard. Maybe that looks like giving God the credit publicly and privately. Maybe that looks like shifting conversations away from myself and to the glory of God. Maybe that looks like a daily prayer. Lord, help me to make much of you today. However we work that out in our lives, may we affirm with John, I must decrease because Jesus is greater. In the second place, I must decrease because my joy is found in his increase. The greater that he is in my life, the more joy that I have, the more ability to rejoice and to be grateful that I have. John says in verse 29, this joy of mine is now complete. John's joy was not being in the spotlight. John was shining the spotlight on the one who deserves the center stage. John was content being the voice of one crying in the wilderness and pointing the attention to the Word. John chapter 1, verse 14, who was made flesh and came to tabernacle among us. Which is better? The sign or the destination? Has your family ever done this thing where you pull off on the side of the road and take a group picture in front of the road sign? Okay, some of you have. I grew up with parents who loved to go to Florida, and we've got a few of those embarrassing photographs. And there was nothing that little middle school Robert loved. I was more awkward then than I am now. There was nothing that I loved more than standing on the roadside with my parents and my little brother and smiling while all the cars went by. There may be like rules against that now. I'm not sure. When I was researching this, I thought about this illustration, so I did some Google searching, and I actually read a news story from a few years ago where there was a fella who was charged with being responsible for causing an accident that was actually pretty serious because he stopped in the middle of the interstate with cars going by on either side to take a family photo of the Welcome to Florida Sunshine State sign. All right, which is better? The beautiful Gulf Coast beaches or this sign that takes you out of Georgia across the state line? A lot of us struggle sometimes with comparison, with recognition, with wanting to be seen or appreciated. But we're just the signposts pointing people to the destination. True joy is found when Jesus is praised. True joy is found when souls are saved. True joy is found when God is glorified. And listen, if my joy depends on my increase, then my joy is always going to be fragile. I'm constantly going to be riding the ups and the downs, the waves, the highs and the lows of the social media likes and comments, of the peer-reviewed feedback, of the accomplishments, or even of my own standards of excellence, or my lack of attaining my own standards of excellence. But if my joy depends on His increase, then it will always be full. It's not hard to exalt Christ. What's hard is getting out of the way. I must decrease because my joy is found in His increase. But number three, John teaches us that I must decrease so that others can see Jesus clearly. So that others can see Jesus clearly. In verses 32 and 33, the narrative says about Jesus that He bears witness to what He has seen and heard. See, He's from heaven. Yet no one receives His testimony. There were individuals who rejected what He said. Like Matt told us around the Lord's table this morning, we didn't make room for Him, though He came to make all the room for us. John continues, whoever receives His testimony sets His seal to this, or the Christian Standard Bible says, has affirmed that. The New King James and New International Version say, He has certified that God is true. The one who listens to what Jesus says is the one who, getting out of the way, making room to receive His testimony from heaven, to listen to what Jesus says. Sometimes, it's not that people are rejecting Jesus. It's that they're rejecting a distorted picture of Him through us. Right? Sometimes people do reject Jesus. We know that's true. I mean, there were individuals in the New Testament times who were there. I mean, they saw Him perform the undeniable miracles. And they turned away, shrugging Him off, elevating themselves. But other times, people may turn away from Him because we have misrepresented Him. we've been in the way. You know, if a window is covered in dirt, you can't see what's on the other side very clearly. But the problem isn't outside. The problem is what's on the glass. The problem is what's standing between us and it. And how many people in our generation are turning away from Christ's church and from Jesus himself, all because the only thing that they can really see is us who are getting in the way of it? Don't you think so much of this deconstructionism that we're hearing about today? Don't you think that so much of people who are saying, I'm not really into institutionalized religion today, a lot of that would be cleared up if we could get them to see, no, don't look at me. Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at the elders. Look at Jesus. I must decrease so others can see him clearly. Sometimes we block the view through pride, through harshness, through hypocrisy, through making everything about us. But we will help others see Jesus when, are you listening to this? When we're humble. If you don't know the answer, don't make it up. If you're not sure what the elders' official stance on this or that is in matters where the elders need to exercise their liberty over a congregation in leadership, don't speak on their behalf. Go and ask them. Through our gentleness and truth, let your reasonableness be known to all. But far too often, we're biting and devouring one another rather than speaking truth in love. Through consistent Christian living, don't just live it when you're in this building or one like it. Don't just live it when you're on campus. Don't just live it when you know that the Board of Trustees is around. Live it all the time. Speak often about him. Talk about Jesus. Tell people, Jesus is why. I must decrease so that others can see Jesus clearly. But here's the last thing I want to share with you that I think we learned from John in John chapter 3, and that is, I must decrease because my life is not my own. John shifts the attention now to talk about the way that we receive Jesus. He whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Jesus says that eternal life hinges on our response to him. It's all about what we do with Jesus. Eternal life hinges on our response to him. So this morning, who's sitting on the throne of your life? There's not room to share the seat. Only one occupant may be there at a time. It's either you or it's Jesus. And this isn't an optional thing. This isn't a thing where, you know, the greatest Christians are the ones who can say that Jesus is on the throne of their hearts. This is a matter of core discipleship. I mean, Paul says in Romans chapter 12 that we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but transformed. And a part of how that transformation takes place is by giving ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the way that we're supposed to be. See, to follow Jesus is to surrender control. It's to lay down pride. It's to yield my will. And that requires decrease. Choosing his will over mine every day. Serving other people when I'd rather be served. Saying no to self and yes to Christ. I must decrease. I must decrease in my attitude. I need less pride and more humility, less self-focus and more Christ focus. I must decrease in my relationships. I need to make it less demanding and more serving, less about me and more about encouragement and listening to others. I need to decrease in my decisions, making it less about my desires, what I want, and more about His glory. What would glorify Him? I need to decrease in my purpose, making it less about building my kingdom and more about building up His kingdom, which has already come. Jesus is on the throne. The question is, are you letting Him on the throne of your heart? John's life message can be summarized, I think, in this sentence. He, Jesus, must decrease. But I, He, Jesus, must increase. I knew I was going to do that once. I almost made it through the whole sermon, too. He, Jesus, must increase. But I must decrease. Usually I don't catch it till you tell me at the door, so I'm proud of myself today. Whose name is on the jersey? I guess that there are some people who, because of their athletic prowess, we know their name. But more often than not, I think my attention is drawn not to the name on the back, but the name on the front. That is the team name. I don't always know the depth of every roster, not even of my teams. That doesn't surprise you because I'm kind of a nerd. But I know the team I'm rooting for. And I know the people in that color scheme are the people that I want to win. I know the people who are under that coach are the people that I want to win. Whose name is on your jersey? On the front. The paradox of Christianity is when I decrease, I don't lose. I live. For whoever would save his life, hold on to it, will lose it. But whoever would lose or give up his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. The world says, make much of yourself. Jesus says, lose yourself for my sake. Jesus is why I must decrease. Maybe today, pride needs to decrease in your heart. Maybe today, sin needs to decrease in your life. Maybe today, self needs to step off the throne so that you can make room for Jesus, so that Jesus can increase in your heart, so that Jesus can increase in your life. Now's an opportunity. Don't let the number of people in this room hinder you from letting Jesus increase in your life. Some of us will leave today and we will privately apply the things that we have studied, trying to make it more of a mental exercise to think about kingdom-mindedness, to think first about Jesus. But there's some people in this room, I feel confident, in a group this size, who knows, I need to do something different. I need to make an abrupt change of course. Maybe what you need to do today is to let Jesus on the throne for the very first time. Maybe you need to yield your will for His will, and that looks like acknowledging the faith that you have in Him. And turning away from sin. I don't want to live like that anymore. And confessing, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of the living God, and being buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Maybe that's what you need to do today, and we're ready right now to assist you. Or maybe He was once on that throne, but He's not right now. Maybe you've struggled with the highs and the lows of life, and right now your volume is turned up too loudly and you need to turn it down so you can actually hear Him. You can come to Jesus today. You can become His today. You can come back home to him today. He must increase, but I must decrease. As we stand in